chance. That's decent coverage on the showers and storms. High again around 90. Download our weather app. Stay on top of the weather changes. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. It's free. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
These are headlines from the Montgomery Advertiser Newsroom. I'm Wendell Jay. In Selma, they got a 16-year-old boy in the lockup named Markle Collins, who was accused of murder. Chris Lee was shot twice. He was a basketball player at Elwood Christian Academy. District Attorney Michael Jackson says he believes the shooting was gang-related, possibly a revenge shooting. The case still being investigated. Jackson said Collins is also one of the youngest murder suspects in Selma history. Montgomery police have charged a man with murder and first-degree assault. Stanley Wilson arrested at the scene of a crash he caused. He ran the red light at Fairview Avenue and Norman Bridge, failed to stop, hit a Ford Focus. One person was killed in the crash. And Prattville police have identified three people killed in the barbershop shooting. Eddie Scott of Autauga County, Anthony Smith of Autauga County, and Al Benson of Elmore County. They are looking for Marty D. Morgan and an accomplice. They are wanted for that shooting, the triple homicide. That's a look at your headlines. I'm Wendell Jay.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Windows clean and see clearer with Gunk Glass Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy one bottle of Gunk Glass Cleaner and get one free. Gunk's high-performance ingredients clean glass and hard surfaces without leaving a film or residue. Gunk Glass Cleaner, buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why we love the country music community? Their passion for hometowns. Because at Country Inns and Suites, at home is how we want every guest to feel. That's why we offer complimentary comforts, such as hot breakfast every morning, a Wi-Fi connection, and coffee around the clock. Plus, our spacious rooms are the perfect place to relax and unwind. Our home is always open to you and your family. Book your next stay at countryinns.com.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The president's headed for the G20 summit, but he's first stopping in Poland to meet with leaders there.
Trump will be meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, British Prime Minister Theresa May, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Human rights groups are calling on the European Union to take action against Poland for what they claim is a violation of both international and EU humanitarian law.
A New York City police officer shot Miosotis Familia had been on the force 12 years. The police commissioner said she was assassinated.
All Volvos will be either fully electric or hybrid.
Orders to U.S. factories fell for the second straight month in May. The Commerce Department said factory orders declined 0.8%. That is the biggest drop since last November.
The National Interagency Fire Center says there are at least 30 large fires burning in the United States. Most of these are in Arizona and California.
The latest monthly report on wage growth from job site Glassdoor finding a 1.7% increase in June compared to last year.
Companies like Amazon and Walmart are leading the way here, and we're seeing big wage gains for warehouse associates and delivery drivers.
I guess all of us have had the experience of getting into a discussion and coming up with the right answer 2 hours later when we're all alone. I'll be right back. My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. "Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry?" Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking, or so she thought. He said, "Sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get." "Oh," she said, "but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee." Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism, but he threw another curve. "Sure," he said, "I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation. She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked she spoke, but that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button? She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, I would also like a yacht. Somewhat defeated, she answered, well, if you're not going to be serious about it. But I am, Brad said as earnestly as he could. I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa. Look, she said sternly, you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have. All right, Brad answered, I understand. Let everyone have a yacht. But how, she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. Don't bother me with that, he said. There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like. What, she asked. Two yachts. Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, it's people like you who keep socialism from working. And Brad agreed. Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance. By now, she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, but there's still one problem. How many are there, like me? Well, not as many as you think, she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, there she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist. How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Here we go again. Stock market is down 90 points. Temperature outside is 90 degrees. How does that happen? Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself. The one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Got to spend the morning with the dad and go see his father, my grandfather, granddaddy, as I like to call him, and ate a good hearty country breakfast. By the way, a side of bacon is not two strips of bacon. A side of bacon is at least three or four, and sometimes I might order a double.
We won't even ask where you were asking that question.
No.
I tell you, I cooked something last night I haven't cooked out in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They have these tomahawk pork chops at Pepper Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a tomahawk. It's got a handle on it. You can beat somebody over the head with it. I cooked that bad boy, seasoned it, did all my marinade, and got it. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. So I was munching on that bad boy this morning, for lunch on the way over.
I'd imagine you used some sort of sweetness to go with that pork.
Actually, what I did is I went more of the honey ginger honey ginger with a lavender type thing. And what was it? Lavender, honey ginger, and coffee.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it had a great flavor, too, with the pepper tree seasoning on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was like, I mean, I was eating it like a caveman.
Did you really eat it all bone? Bone? Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a little petite boy and cut that baby with a knife. Are you kidding me? But I had not had a really good pork steak in a long time, and I forgot how just absolutely great they are. Very reasonable. You know, if you were to buy that level of meat, it would be, you know, $10, $11 if it was a steak. But you can get that same amount of meat for six type things. So that's a pretty good deal. So give that a shot. 272-9228. We're going to have U.S. Senate candidate, current member of Congress, Mo Brooks, going to be joining us. He's going to be leaving an event and texting me when he's 7-7, this locale. We have some kind of new things here. We have the triple homicide. And did I not send you the triple homicide?
Yeah,
you got it. Let's listen to the triple homicide story. This we talked about this a little bit yesterday. This is big.
closing in on a man believed to be behind a triple homicide in Prattville.
They released details of the search today, along with the names of those killed.
The three men died during an apparent armed robbery on Monday at a barbershop near the intersection of Highway 82 and Highway 14.
Prattville Police Chief today shed light on the brutal nature of these killings and the all-out efforts underway by local and federal agencies to get the suspects in this case off the streets of the community. Prattville Police and the U.S. Marshals continue working to hunt down the two men believed to have opened fire at a barbershop, claiming several lives. 56-year-old Eddie Scott, 45-year-old Anthony Smith, and 50-year-old Al Benson, all local men, were killed Monday night at the hookup, located at the intersection of Highway 82 and 14. Another man was also wounded in the shooting.
Alleged armed robbery had taken place during the crime. The victims were shot.
Marty Morgan of Prattville is wanted, along with his accomplice, whose identity is not yet known.
We're executing search warrants in areas of Prattville and doing roadblocks in another area of Prattville. And we're going to be very aggressive with this case. Morgan needs to go ahead and turn himself in, and the others involved, it's just a matter of time.
We're a very tight community. This also involves more than just the three losses that you're talking about here. There's a lot of families involved.
Police say one of the victims tried to run away, but was followed by the suspects and shot at the gas station next door.
People need to realize that the brutality that took place during these homicides, these people that committed this crime have no feelings, no remorse. They will hurt you as quick as they did the people that they did murder in this case. And you need to call us, let us know if you know anything about it.
Now, I'm told this is a capital murder investigation. Police say the victims' names were prematurely posted to Facebook by social media users out there before authorities could properly notify their family members. And officials strongly discourage those kinds of sensitive posts in investigations like this.
Interestingly, they captured one of the guys. And so they have one guy, which means they're going to get to the other, because he is going to rat out the other one to for seeking lesser charges. But the lesser charges, when you're triple homicide, this is pretty serious. At a place called The Hookup, a barbershop called The Hookup, that sounds suspicious to me.
Yeah.
It seems that from talking to folks in the... the police department, let me be careful with that. They said it was basically just a hit job. This was like a vicious murder, back of the head type thing, multiple shots, and just one guy was running away and shot him while he was running type thing. I mean, these guys were brutal.
They were there. It wasn't like a robbery gone wrong. Somebody got heated even. It was very premeditated.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions around this. One, what were these guys doing in this barbershop? Was it a potential poker game or something like that was going on? And they were robbing them to get all the money that was on the table that was there. That's kind of what I've been hinted to. And they're going to find this guy. I mean, this was all premeditated. I understand they had cased the joint. They knew when these guys were there, what they were doing. They came busted in, robbed them, and murdered them.
Phew.
And some bad guys. And let me tell you, when you have people that are that cold-blooded, you're going to have some problems.
Though, I will say the silver lining, and it's a general rule, is when you talk about these murders, it is usually the case that the people knew each other. Whether it's a domestic issue or it is something like a poker game or a drug deal, some illicit black market activity going on.
Normally that is the case. This may be a situation, I don't know. The fact that they murdered him, probably they didn't know him. I'd probably give you that. There also was a looting arrest murder that happened on the corner of Fairview and Norman Bridge. This person was being chased by a state trooper and was basically, he hit a car, T-boned it running the intersection, killed the passenger, and they're charging him with murder. Let's listen in to the story.
fatalities over the July 4th travel period. And another happened this morning when a Montgomery man reportedly tried to flee a state trooper and crashed into another car. Live with more on this story, WSFA 12 News anchor John O'Connor.
This crash happened early this morning. It began with a speeding car and the person behind the wheel refusing to stop. According to police, a state trooper tried to pull over Stanley Wilson for excessive speeding. This was around 1:30 this morning. While Wilson was trying to get away, he ran a red light there at Fairview Avenue and Norman Bridge Road and slammed into another car. This is some witness. A witness shared this video of the crash with WSFA 12 News. The passenger in the car that was hit died at the scene. Police are still trying to identify that person. The driver of the car that was hit is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. As for Wilson, he suffered minor injuries. He's now charged with murder, assault, and attempting to elude. Mark, he's being held in the Montgomery County Jail.
All right, John, thank you. Court documents show that state troopers ticketed Wilson for multiple violations, including reckless driving, running a red light, and driving without a license.
This crash, I saw the video of it. Literally the car is on fire. This is not far from your house.
Oh, wow.
Fairview and Norman Bridge Road.
Yeah, not far at all.
Where the old Brubaker home was on right where LeGrand Park is and all that.
Yeah, a few blocks down the road.
And so this guy was flying, state troopers chasing him. He, as you heard, had a lot of different priors and things. T-boned this car, hit it right in the passenger's door. The car is on fire, literally on fire. And the guy who hit him, he basically was okay, but the fact that he T-boned this guy right in his door, died.
And it is strange to me how partitioned those are. I mean, that's a more of a freak event. But it's amazing to me because I've looked at the crime, you know, heat maps, the intensity maps, and how you hit Court Street, Norman Bridge, things start to go south the more you move west.
Yeah.
And where I am, though, like all sorts of nice cars, families out with their kids, walking dogs. And then you just move a few blocks down and that environment goes away. It's a shame.
Yeah, as soon as you pass Norman Bridge, it starts dropping down substantially, particularly on the other side, a little further down towards Southern Bypass. News Talk 93.1, the Dan Mars Show. We'll be back right after this.
No place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Noon till 1 on Saturdays on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Prattville, Montgomery, Troy, Auburn, Tallahassee. Brubaker.com, everywhere and anywhere. Always happy and ready to serve you. Come in to see what's new. Infiniti's all-new 2017 QX30 compact SUV. Four doors, fast and agile. Or pack up the nimble Infiniti QX80 and head for the beach with families and friends. Kia has the 2017 Niro SUV, the one Prius owners have been switching to. Up to 54 miles per gallon. Or the Kia Sorento SUV. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram truck. There is a reason we sell so many of these vehicles. Find out why. The all-new Chrysler Pacifica minivan and the gas or hybrid version. The hybrid version hit a record 84 mpge. The always popular Cherokee, Grand Cherokee, and Renegade Jeep models. Or Wrangler in the two- or four-door styles. The 4x4 Ram truck, big and Ram tough. Fiat, our newest addition, the compact SUV 500XL to the super quick Spyder convertible. Who wouldn't look good in an Italian Fiat? Come see us today at Brubaker Motors or Brubaker.com.
It's that time of year again. The mosquitoes are coming back. The River Region is known for its pesky mosquito. We've all heard the late-night mosquito truck driving through the neighborhood spraying to try to calm the mosquito population. But that's all it does. It calms it down. They don't drive where you spend most of your time, your backyard. Well, I have a solution for you. Mosquito Terminators. They apply a repellent every 21 days that virtually eliminates all mosquitoes in your yard. Imagine sitting outside and never having to worry about mosquitoes. Have a pool? You need Mosquito Terminators. Cook a lot? Mosquito Terminators. Have kids and you want them to enjoy playing outside? Mosquito Terminators. How do you get these guys on your side? Call LeVon at 513-2940. That's 513-2940. Tell them you're a Dan Morris Show listener.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV. Southern nights,
have you ever felt a sun? 272-9228. That's where we are. Free as a breeze, not to mention the... So you said Mo Brooks' office called and they'll be here at 12:35?
Yes.
Excellent.
And then we'll have him probably into the next hour. So, good long conversation with Mo Brooks.
Question, comments, viewpoints, we're welcome.
I apologize to anyone who can truly say...
Okay, we've got Trump and... He's in Warsaw this morning. He's in Hamburg as we speak, a meeting, doing a one-on-one with Angela Merkel and several other people.
And one thing that's interesting, I didn't realize this, that President Xi Jinping of China, he is going to Moscow first, or he went to Moscow first, met with Putin, and then left at the same time as Putin for the G20. That's an interesting...
Well, you remember I said yesterday they were going to be, that the two of them were going to be meeting, and the press is saying they were meeting without Donald Trump. But so this to me is a meeting that is clearly, in my estimation, clearly about North Korea.
It's definitely about North Korea, and I think it's Russia and China trying to have good faith. They don't want to be relying on one another, but they're... I think North Korea and just the United States pressing our hand in that, you know, freedom of navigation, these sort of things. Russia and China realize, we got to be friends here.
Yeah, well, we have a mutual interest, and that is that to tap North Korea down, because if we don't, North Korea gets out of hand, we're going to have a little bit of a problem, because that crazy guy in Washington, D.C., no telling what he may do, may slap sanctions on both of us out here for not doing something. And I hate to say this, but it's working. We have a Eurasia expert that was on this morning. Let's listen to this, talking about the G20 meeting and U.S. actions.
Let's start the news from the president's comments this morning at the G20 summit. He warned about severe actions against North Korea, but then he quickly added, that doesn't mean we're going to do them. Doesn't that just encapsulate that there really are no good options when it comes to North Korea?
Well, I mean, it's why we've had a series of presidents that have basically kicked it to their children, right? We can put more pressure on China. And even though everyone's going to focus on the Trump-Putin meeting, the most important thing at the G20 is the fact the U.S.-China relationship is considerably more tense. This will be the first time that both presidents have met face-to-face since there have been a series of actions already taken by the United States against China, including a big new arms sale to Taiwan, and also, most recently, Trump saying repeatedly that China's not doing what they need to on North Korea.
What's the specific ask from China?
The specific ask is that if you don't cut off significantly the economic funding and support that the North Koreans have been receiving from China, that the U.S. is going to put sanctions against Chinese organizations doing that business, and eventually there's going to be linkage as well to broader tariffs against China. Two most important economies in the world thought that relationship was on a relatively calm footing. Now it looks like it really isn't. That's the biggest takeaway of the G20.
Wow, that's the biggest takeaway for the G20. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. This guy's a Euro-Asian Asia expert, and he is quite the guy as far as taking this thing apart. He actually criticizes or blames Barack Obama in a couple of pieces there, which is kind of unusual. Let's go to the second part where we get our guests set up here.
Yeah, certainly after the Mar-a-Lago meeting, where everything seemed to be, you know, on good terms. What happened, Ian, and can you get that back on track?
Look, I mean, remember the first time that Trump met with Obama in the Oval Office, suddenly it was, oh, well, actually, face-to-face, everything's okay, he's calling me on the phone, he's spending time, but then he's tapping my phones, right? So I think that Trump was in deal-making mode, in let's see if we can get something done. In relatively short order, he's pivoted away from that very dramatically, and I think this is not going to be an easy meeting at all between Trump and Xi Jinping. That's the body language you want to watch. Again, the Trump-Putin body language is going to be warm and festive, and we're all going to go crazy about it, but with Xi Jinping, that's the one that really has long-term implications.
That said, the Trump-Putin meeting is, I mean, this has gone from a casual pull aside to now this formal bilateral discussion, essentially a summit between these two leaders. Who's going to be involved in that? Who should be involved in that?
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then Trump's having an awful lot of summits at this meeting. So I wouldn't go so crazy about it. But I do think, look, we want to have a lot of people in that meeting. It's important that it's not just a private bilat between Trump and Putin, because then who the hell knows what they're talking about. I think one of the reasons that my old friend Fiona Hill, the senior director for Russia-Eurasia, is being pulled into that meeting is because
she is going to be there.
It looks that way. Certainly a lot of people are pushing for it. I think that McMaster would want her there. She's very credible. And the foreign policy establishment, the Richard Haass types, the rest, will say, you know what, if she's saying that this meeting was on the up and up, it's on the up and up. That would inoculate Trump from a lot of the criticism he'd otherwise get.
And well, he's a Putin critic.
No question.
Fiona Hill is a pretty strong lady. She's mm-hmm. Brookings Institute.
Right.
She's actually part of the NSA group. You know, we're going to give the award for the most punctual U.S. Senate candidate to Mo Brooks. Let's bring him in.
Good afternoon.
Congressman, welcome aboard. You win the punctuality award here.
And I brought my lunch. Do you want me to share? I've got Fig Newtons and some kind of trail mix. This is the campaign meal.
I like
choice.
That. I saw that. I was wondering if we were able to have lunch with a member of Congress here, candidate for U.S. Senate. So how's the campaign going? Give us a little background on it.
Well, it seems to be going very well. The polling data suggests that there continues to be a consolidation of votes amongst the top three, Mo Brooks, Luther Strange, and Roy Moore, with the bottom seven, a second tier, still struggling to break out. Last polling data I saw had the fourth place person at around 4%. Of course, that can change. We'll see if it does, and I'm sure each of them are struggling and working as hard as they can to be the fourth person in the top tier of candidates. But in the absence of one of them breaking out, it's going to come down to a three-person race with Mo Brooks, Luther Strange, or Roy Moore.
Interesting, and Luther Strange has spent an awful lot of money, and I haven't seen anything on your part or on Roy Moore's part yet.
I haven't seen anything on Roy Moore's. Luther Strange's forces have probably spent $1 million by now, $2 million, $3 million. Okay. I don't know. We'll find out when the disclosures come out in mid-July for the June 30th and early periods. I'm holding on mine until the end game.
There you go. That's exactly the way to do it. Let's get into some policy and things that are kind of going on. Number one, North Korea. What are your thoughts?
I have a different view than a lot of people in North Korea. I'm going to give it in two parts, depending on how much time you're allotting me. The first part is this. I see North Korea as a puppet of China. If you recall the election promises of President Trump last year, he was promising to get very, very aggressive with China and the unfair trade practices that have given China such an economic advantage that we have a roughly $350 billion a year trade deficit with China. And I think that to some degree, the Chinese, being very astute, being long-range players, they probably incited or inspired the North Koreans to be more aggressive with their military adventurism, their missile testing, perhaps their nuclear weapon explosions, in order to force the President of the United States to deal with China, thereby making it more difficult for the President of the United States to initiate the trade policies that we ought to be initiating in order to minimize this erosion of American wealth to China that we see in these $350 billion a year trade deficits. So I think that's a part of what's going on. The Chinese are very smart, and I think they've played their hand very well. You have not seen us try to balance the trade field, the playing field, so that we could be in better position vis-a-vis Chinese products. The second thing I think about North Korea, which may be somewhat different from some of the talking heads on TV, is I don't see them as nearly the kind of threat that Iran is. With North Korea, you've got people, in my judgment, who want to live. And what that means is, akin to with China and the Soviet Union, now Russia, the mutually assured destruction doctrine ought to deter North Korea from attacking the United States of America. They may bluster and they may act like it, but I don't think they really mean it. And they know that if they were to attack the United States, a retaliatory strike by the United States of America would decimate North Korea to where there might not be anything living, not even a plant. And that kind of deterrence has worked well for over half a century with China and the Soviet Union, now Russia, and I believe it also would work with North Korea. Now, the Iranians, that's where we need to keep our eyes focused, because they seem to be motivated by a religious fervor where they are willing to sacrifice themselves if they can take out the great Satan and the little Satan, the United States of America and Israel. And that means that the mutually assured destruction doctrine may not work with the Iranians. And so I think we need to be much more cautious, perhaps more aggressive in the way in which we interact with the Iranians in order to try to minimize the risk of them getting the kind of weaponry that you're now seeing falling into the hands of North Korea. If Iran gets nuclear weapons coupled with missile delivery systems that can reach Israel and America, I'm much more concerned about Iran going ahead and launching those first strike salvos, even if it means the destruction of Iran. And that's based on the religious values that we have seen in so many terrorists who have given up their own life in order to kill as many non-Muslims as they could. Or we saw in 9/11, where the Twin Towers were both taken down in New York City. The Pentagon was hit with suicide bombs, the bombs being the aircraft themselves. So Iran, we can't be distracted by what's going on in some of the other places in the world. To me, Iran is one of our biggest threats.
272-9228, Mo Brooks, candidate for U.S. Senate in the House, taking your questions, comment, viewpoints. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt a southern night?
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Just as good even when closed your eyes. I apologize to anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. The president in Hamburg, Germany, ahead of a summit of the world's 20 leading industrialized nations, his first sit-down with the leader of Germany.
Chancellor Angela Merkel, the host of the G20 summit. The two clearly differ on several key issues.
Fox's Kristen Fischer. President Trump's expected first meeting with the Russian president tomorrow, drawing a lot of attention. Earlier today, the president answering press questions on alleged Russian interference in our election.
I think it was Russia, and I think it could have been other people in other countries. Could have been a lot of people interfered. I said it very simply. I think it could very well have been Russia, but I think it could well have been other countries, and I won't be specific.
And we're getting details about the four children and their father stabbed to death in a house outside Atlanta. A fifth child survived. Police say all the kids were apparently under 10. Their mother is a suspect. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. For a free quote, call 1-800-577-2058. AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. They support everything you love.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Another hot day today with the heat index this afternoon near 100. A good bit of sunshine with a high temperature around 93. Widely scattered afternoon and evening storms, but they'll be fairly sparse on the radar. The low temperatures tonight down to about 74. Then tomorrow and Saturday, partial sunshine. A little more numerous on the showers and storms in the afternoon and evening both days. High around 90. And then on Sunday, a 50-50 chance. That's decent coverage on the showers and storms. High again around 90. Download our weather app. Stay on top of the weather changes. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. It's free. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber. The River region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. U.S. Senate candidate Mo Brooks in the House.
I see past today. I know I'm growing tired and I feel it, yeah. And the song that I sing when the notes begin to ring.
Mo, I assume that you heard the news about Scalise going back into an urgent care setting.
From fair to serious condition, went into the intensive care unit. Yes, I'm familiar with that.
How are you doing after that encounter?
Well, when I think about it, occasionally I'll get a little bit emotional. We don't have the final FBI report, but I'm going to project that the number of bullets fired was probably in the neighborhood of 80 to 120. And there were a lot of different things that could have gone much worse than they did. Of course, that's not helping my friend Steve Scalise, who's still in the hospital with some very serious injuries it's going to take. If things go right, it'll be about a year or two before he'll have recovered with all the rehab and reconstructive surgery and everything else. And that's not a fun thing to look forward to. And it's disconcerting because it's a person I know who helped me in my first election in 2010, whom I encouraged to run for the whip position and help get him the votes to be elected. So, and also on the same baseball team, played some basketball with him on occasion too as we try to get exercise when we're in Washington, D.C. So our prayers and thoughts need to be with him. We all knew that it would be much like a roller coaster with Steve Scalise, that he's going to have good days and bad days. The big fear was some kind of infection. When you're dealing with that part of the body, infection is a higher risk than perhaps other parts of the body. And hopefully they'll get that infection under control. But as long as we can keep infections down to a minimal or eliminate them, then long-term, I think the prognosis is relatively optimistic. Now, it's going to take a whole lot of hardship on his part, a year or two, of that reconstructive surgery and rehabilitation before he'll be back up to speed. So it's just, you know, it's troubling.
For the audience edification, Mo was there at the ballpark, on the baseball field, at the third base line, which is where the shooter was shooting from on the other side of the dugout. He was in the on deck box when the shooting started happening. I guess one of the closest people to the shooter.
I would have been top three in terms of closest. Trent Kelly at third base, I think his lucky stars. He was standing still, and the shooter couldn't have been more than 15 feet away with a rifle and missed him. And then Gary Palmer was at the shortstop position. Gary Palmer and I are probably about the same distance away because he was on the third base side of second base.
And
I was,
folks, for the Gary Palmer is our member of Congress from the Birmingham area.
And he was very, very fortunate. I think he's recovering from his injury. It was not gun-related. It was probably trying to run faster than the old legs would permit. So he had some muscle issues associated with his knee, hamstring, something of that nature. But I talked to him last week, and the swelling's gone down, and he seems to be getting back into his regular self. So that's a good thing. The other injured people, Zach Barth, who got shot in the calf, he seems to be doing well. David Bailey, one of the Capitol Police officers who did superb, heroic effort on our behalf, saved lives, no question. I think he's in pretty good shape. Crystal is going to have a little bit of, she's another Capitol Police officer, is going to have a little bit of rehab. She got hit, from what I understand, at least twice, once in the forearm and once in the Achilles tendon area. So she's got rehab. She's wheelchair bound. And then Matt Micah, who I thought was the closest to death at the ball field because he got hit a number of times, very close to his heart in the lungs area. Three or four different times he got shot, either directly or indirectly, by the shrapnel. I think he's going to be okay, too. So now the focus needs to be on Steve Scalise. If anybody knows any Scalise family members over in Louisiana, please send them kind thoughts.
In the aftermath of that, have you, with your other colleagues, gone back and kind of walked through the thing together as a group, little group dynamics there?
I have not gone back to the ball field.
But just share what had happened with the other members that had happened to?
Well, I've been talking with other members to try to reconstruct things. By way of example, I didn't know where Chuck Fleischman was. He's a congressman from Chattanooga. He turned out to be pretty close to me with the initial gunfire. And I mentioned how I ran around the batting cage from third base to first base side of the batting cage that encircles home plate. And there were two or three, maybe four others with me hiding behind the dark plastic. Wouldn't stop a bullet, but he couldn't see us. Might not know we were there. And it turns out Chuck Fleischman was one of those guys lying on the ground next to me. But I knew there were bodies there. I had no idea who they were.
That is interesting.
And then when the shooting was all taking place, I did not know that Trent Kelly was taking grounders at third or that Gary Palmer was taking grounders at shortstop. I didn't find that out till afterwards as I talked to them to try to, you know, we've all been chatting with each other, reconstructing who did what transpired. And the more we think about it, the more we think about how fortunate we were.
Absolutely.
This guy was a horrible shot. That's the bottom line. He's shooting a rifle from the hip like Chuck Connors in the old black and white Western movie, The Rifleman.
Wow, he didn't shoulder mount? He wouldn't shoot him from his shoulder?
No.
That's interesting.
If he'd been aiming from his shoulder like a hunter would,
yeah,
or a military guy would, vastly different outcome.
That's amazing. That's the first time I've heard of that. One final question before we go to a caller here. Your name was on a list that was in a shirt or a piece of clothing that was in his van. How did you find out about that?
Capitol Police called my office and informed my office the day after the shooting on Thursday that my name and some others, at that time it was just a handful of others, were on an assassination hit list. And that our office numbers were also next to our names on that list. And they warned us that it might become public, so they gave us a heads up. And, of course, I think it was the Daily Caller. They got a hold of everything you could get a hold of inside the investigative team. I don't know who it is that talked to them, but they got it. And by Saturday or Sunday, of course, all of America knew that there was an assassination list. And I think my lucky stars that when I was pretty close to the assassin, I had on a batting helmet, so perhaps he didn't recognize me. But there were six of us, ultimately, it's been revealed, that were on that assassination list. All of them conservatives in the House of Representatives, none of our moderate or more liberal wings.
Were they all Freedom Caucus people?
Yes. My understanding is yes. Let's go through it. It was Jeff Duncan of South Carolina, Scott Desjarlais just to the north of us in the Tennessee Valley in the state of Tennessee, Trent Franks from Arizona, Jim Jordan from Ohio, and then Morgan Griffith from Virginia. And yes, all of those are House Freedom Caucus members.
Let's go to the phones and go to Rodney. Rodney, you're on with Mo Brooks, candidate for U.S. Senate.
Hey, Dan, how y'all doing today?
Very good.
Yeah, well, my prayers go out for Steve. I am from Southeast Louisiana. I had met Steve several times, just doing little functions and stuff throughout the years where I grew up in the Jefferson Parish area, Battery area, and Slidell areas and stuff. So it's really horrible what's happened to him, and send my prayers out to his family. But my question is about North Korea, is that North Korea would not have any nuclear capability at all if it would be for America. Now, the point that I'm making is that back in the Clinton days, Clinton had agreed to give North Korea several billions of dollars to build a power grid, which they never did. And that money was used to create the problem that we have today. So my question is that information true or factual or not?
I don't know if the details that you've given me are in fact true, but the general theme is spot on. Yes, Bill Clinton enabled North Korea to obtain the nuclear materials needed for them to build and test nuclear weapons.
Correct. But the money was, from what I'm reading and understanding about this, is that the money was supposed to be for infrastructure to create a power system for North Korea to be able to turn on lights at night. And these billions of dollars were given to them, and North Korea just decided that it was going to use it for its military and its weapons development. And so that's what is shocking to me, is that at this end result, from the information supposedly that I'm getting, is that we financed it through the Bill Clinton presidency.
Well, I don't remember right offhand if we financed it or if we otherwise empowered them to get their hands on the nuclear materials that ultimately resulted in their being able to test nuclear weapons. Now, you know, I can Google it and find out fairly quickly, refreshing my recollection, but I am certain that the United States of America, through its president then, Bill Clinton, facilitated North Korea getting those nuclear weapons. That certainly was not Bill Clinton's intent, but that was the effect.
Rodney, thanks for the telephone call. I've read the same thing. Mark, hang on for me. Going to go to a quick break. The Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey there, this is Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Are you currently paying rent? Why? When you could be investing in your own home. I've got some news just for you. Alabama Home Mortgage is now offering a program that will allow you to purchase your home with only 1% down. You heard me right, 1%. Don't waste your money on rent when you can afford to buy. 1 month's rent could get you into your dream home today. You don't have 1%? Small changes can result in big savings quickly. Skip the coffee and you can buy a house. Did you know that just 1 year's worth of lattes could get you that 1% you need to get in your dream home? Alabama Home Mortgage can get you pre-approved, closed, and moved into your new home with only 1% down. Sounds like magic, right? Well, pick up the phone and let us wave our magic wand as we turn renters into homeowners. Call me, Kim Williams, at 567-4223, or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much home you can afford. NMLS 372374, Equal Housing Lender.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Oh,
back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see.
272-9228, that's where we are.
Blue birds singing songs.
Let's go to the phones and get some other callers in here. Mark, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Mo Brooks.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Mr. Brooks. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. I kind of got two kind of short questions for you. The first one being is, I know I heard on the news and views earlier that there's a forum coming up next week that most of the senator candidates are going to be there, except for Judge Roy Moore. And I was wondering if there's going to be another one involving you and him specifically, because honestly, between my mind, it's between you two on who I'm going to vote for. And probably who's best for Alabama. And I was wondering if there's going to be a forum or a debate coming up that hopefully y'all both could attend that I could either listen to or catch the highlights or go to myself.
There are going to be lots of them. There's one tonight in Huntsville. Once I get through here and another couple of meetings, then I'm going to head back to Huntsville at the Rock on Memorial Parkway, southern part of Huntsville. And I think Roy Moore is going to be at that one, although I'm not 100% sure. My understanding is he'll be there along with about six or seven or eight other candidates. Then we've got another one on Saturday, which is in Montgomery. Luther Strange, from what I hear through the grapevine, is supposed to be at that one. I'll be there along with four or five other candidates. But quite frankly, we have so many of these that it's difficult to make them all, particularly for those of us who have to work in Washington, D.C. That's our full-time job. And I'm going to be in Washington for every significant vote. I might miss what are called fly-in day votes. Those are typically 430-0 kind of votes where you're naming a post office or doing something else that is important but not contested. So it's just about guaranteed to pass. Since I've been in Congress, I think every one of the fly-in day votes have passed. I could be wrong in my memory, but that's what I recall. And I don't know when the next one is after this Saturday, but we have them sprinkled around between now and August 15th. Over the next 40 days, there'll probably be another 10 of those.
Mark, on July the 31st, the Wetumpka Tea Party is hosting one at the Civic Center, and I believe everybody is going to be there.
Thank you, Dan. And my second question is, because it's kind of important for me, because I voted for Trump, and obviously Alabama did. And, you know, I feel that what's wrong with Trump's campaign promises is that just Congress, even though they are run by Republicans, and the majorities are not following them. And I know you were a never-Trumper, but, you know, I've never heard a whole lot of
support. Well, actually, I'm going to interject there. I was not a never-Trumper.
Well, that's what I said.
And in fact, I supported Donald Trump in the general election. I might be the only candidate of the top three that, in fact, raised money for and contributed that money to help Donald Trump win, more specifically to win in Florida. And I also did publicly state that we need people to vote for Donald Trump and that he's much better than Hillary Clinton. But
well,
during the Republican primary, you're spot on. I was Ted Cruz's campaign chairman, and my job was to use every truthful argument at my disposal to try to help Ted Cruz prevail. But ultimately, as you know, I was just a pancake after the Trump steamroller ran over me and everybody else.
Well, I don't know if I misspoke or you, Mr. Irby. I said I know you were not a never Trump.
Yeah, I was. That's correct.
So, but like I was saying, I know during the primary you weren't showing a whole lot of support. But what kind of ways could you show him support? And I don't want a senator that will blindly, support Trump because I want, what keeps Alabama's interest in mind and also the Constitution, which is why I think you and Judge Roy Moore would be, great for the job. And that's why you're in my top two. But what would you do to support Trump in the Senate if you were to be elected? And I'll get my answer off here.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, my allegiance is to the Constitution and the United States of America, and they come first. To the extent I can work with other elected officials, I do so. To the extent I've been able to work with the Trump White House, I have done so. As best as my memory serves me, they've taken positions on bills X number of times, and I've voted consistent with their positions 100% of the time. But again, that's best as my memory serves me. I don't always get from my staff the positions of every entity out there as I make a decision on how to vote on the hundreds or thousands of votes that I have cast in Congress so far and will cast in the future. And I have publicly defended Donald Trump with respect to some of the media attacks launched against him. But at the same time, in my judgment, we need the White House and President Trump to keep more of their campaign promises and to take a more active role with respect to what's going on in Congress. By way of example, I want the legislation by which Mexico is going to build the wall. And we have yet to see that. I mean, an actual bill where President Trump says, this is what I meant, this is what I want you to pass. Similarly, I've yet to see a bill from the White House that says, this is how we're going to build a wall. Forget about it coming from Mexico. This is where the money's going to come from someplace else. We need to see that also. I would like to see the White House take a more aggressive position on repeal of Obamacare. They have, on occasion, done that, but they've been somewhat inconsistent in that regard. I love it that Donald Trump most recently finally recognized that the filibuster in the United States Senate is going to kill everything that the Trump administration stands for and tries to achieve unless we can change that filibuster rule. And I say everything except for one bill per year under budget reconciliation. And the issue there is our 52 Republican senators, including the Alabama placeholder, have agreed to empower the Democrats, Chuck Schumer, to empower them to block the public policy will of a majority of the Senate, of the majority of the House of Representatives, to block the policy positions of the White House, and to block all of the voters who sent us to Washington, D.C. And we need to change the rules by which we empower Chuck Schumer and the Democrats to defeat our efforts to reverse the damage that was done to our country by the Democrat policies that we, quite frankly, don't have the money for.
Let me try to do this. Randall, you're going to do really quick. You have a minute and 15 seconds.
I don't want to take that long. Mr. Brooks, tell you, you are a breath of fresh air. I love you ever since I heard your phone call on News and Views. Because you stood up against Trump. I mean, I ain't say against him, but you stood up, you know, and didn't just throw your hand up on the
real quick.
On the healthcare bill.
Healthcare, yes, sir. But my question is, on your humble opinion, the gunshot wound that the shooter received at the ball field, was it a life and death? I mean, should he have died from that gunshot wound at the hospital? And that's all the question I have for you.
If I'd had a chance to stomp on the shooter's head, I'd have gone over there and done it, okay? This guy, we're practicing baseball in a neighborhood, and we're doing it for charity. We raised $1.1 million for Washington, D.C. area charities, primarily youth. And here he is trying to kill people. Many of us are unarmed and have no defense whatsoever. And so anything that could have been done to that assassin to end his life and end it quickly, I was for.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Randall. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wonderful. You need to call me back, 272-9228. I'm going to go to the top of our break and be back with Mo Brooks right after this.
Smiling at me.
The Dan Morris Show.
Nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds singing songs.